Gareth von Onselen is the chief executive of Victory Research and a man whose reputation goes all around the world now, given the accurate forecasting that was achieved ahead of the 1994 elections. Pollsters elsewhere in the world are finding it very difficult to make anything vaguely close to the truth. But here in South Africa, Gareth and some of his counterparts were incredibly close to a rather surprising result to many people. Gareth, good talking with you. This is your game, polls. Well, it is one of your games, but I suppose the one you focus on now as the CEO of Victory Research. We've seen some really strong numbers issued by the Democratic Alliance about the Democratic Alliance heading into next year's election. How much credence can we put on them?
So I think you can put a lot of credence on the actual numbers. The DA's polling operation is one of, if not the strongest in the country. But as ever with numbers, you do need some context to understand them properly, of which I would say a few things are important. First of all, there's most likely been a change in the ballot question. So up to the national elections and probably for a year or so after them, most of the polls asked a national ballot question. If there was a national election tomorrow, who would you vote for? But given that the next elections are local government elections, there's probably been a change. And the question is now, if there were local elections held tomorrow, who would you vote for? And so that does elicit a different level of response because people are less interested in local government elections in South Africa than national elections. The ANC typically does worse in local government elections than it does in national elections. And so that probably explains why there's a significant drop from, for example, the last SRF poll, which had the ANC on around 40%. And then you need to understand that the DA runs a tracking poll. It doesn't do a once-off poll. So what it has given to the public is effectively the last month's support. I suspect those numbers are relatively stable over the long term, but actually what would be more helpful is to know which direction the graph's headed in. In other words, this point in time that the DA is released, are the trends stable? Or is the DA rising? Is the ANC dropping? What are the longer-term trends that underpin this one-off mark? Because that's the great value of a track and gives you a bit more context. And then the final point is there's no ways that these results can be used to predict with any accuracy the election results. They're simply too far away. But they are important in terms of, understanding the market as it stands, and that will have consequences for the future. So, you know, as long as you read these numbers within the proper context and within the proper limitations on them, they are incredibly helpful and I think very accurate.
So if we go back, what are the trends looking like then? It would appear, though, the ANC continues to slide and the DA doing better than we saw in the 94 in last year's elections.
Yes, look, it kind of depends on what you mean by trends. If you take a long kind of 20-year view, then it makes almost perfect sense that the ANC is in decline and that particularly in urban centers, in metropolitans, the DA in particular, and no doubt other opposition parties are doing relatively well because that's where their strengths are. The ANC's decline was slow for the first 10 years, then it picked up pace, and it seems to be, all things being relative, collapsing now. And it's going to be most hurt by the local government elections, which is its worst platform to perform on. In the other direction, it is the best platform for opposition voters. They turn out disproportionately high compared to ANC voters, and so opposition parties tend to do disproportionately well. And these are numbers concern opposition strongholds, urban centers, and key metropolitans where the opposition is at its strongest. So it all kind of makes sense in a big picture view. The only outstanding thing is perhaps the extent of the ANC's decline. Down to 30% is dramatic and makes it very difficult for it to recover, even up to 40%, I would say, in the next year or so. And it puts certain governments on the table or within the reach of the DA as a standalone government, which is what it's always wanted avoiding coalitions or at least keeping them as small as possible. So those seem to be the kind of things that we're going to have to look out for if these polls are any indication of what's ahead.
We had a wonderful piece on BizNews Premium today by John Mattison, where he took each of the polls and then unpacked the point that you make now, that it, in most of the metros, it would be possible and probable, actually, for the DA to take control of those metros. Perhaps we could work through them, starting off in Tshwane, in Pretoria, where they've got a very strong candidate, the former mayor. Is the number there looking as though the DA could, in fact, get to 50% or very close to it, and then along with Freedom Front, take control of that metro?
Well, Tshwane's always, of the three Joburg metros, Tshwane's always been the area where the DA has performed best. Joburg's the metro where the DA has always had the most potential and failed to capitalize on it, and Ekurhuleni's always been a third place kind of runner-up. So it's quite, it makes sense that that's the metro in which its support is highest. That's in line with historical trends. We are quite far out from an election. And so, you know, the DA's support, much like the ANC's, goes down between elections, tends to go up between elections. So it'll probably lose some of that rather than gain it. And to get to 50%, I would say, is an outside chance at the moment, but a possible one. You need a whole lot of things to go right. But certainly, I mean, I would think 40% would be a minimum for them now in that metro. As like, you know, both the biggest parties in South Africa, the ANC on the one hand and its universe, which is defined by breakaways like MK and EFF, and the DA and its kind of opposition universe, which is defined by breakaways like Action SA and Rise Mzanzi and parties like that, are spending a disproportionate amount of time having to fend off people in their own pool trying to eat their own votes rather than to consolidate votes from the other side. And that's as going to be the greatest challenge in local government elections, because there's just so many fights. It boils down to such a small level, so many different metros, so many areas in which one party's stronger than it is in other areas and puts more resources into them. I think it's going to be a real difficult bun fight. And for the DA to be able to maintain focus and control on so many battlefronts in order to get to 50% is a very hard ask. But Tshwane, if they are somewhere that they are likely to do it, it's Tshwane.
You're also, apart from being a pollster, you're a very respected political commentator. And I've got to ask you, given your history or recent history where you waved the flag about Action SA and suggested that they were a party that that was vulnerable, the fact that they've been running that metro now, would that be a good or a bad thing for their chances?
Well, it's, you know, the Action South Africa's problems is much bigger than it's got a strategic problem. The party doesn't have a strategist. I mean, it has one on paper, Michael Beaumont, but he's not actually a party strategist. He's an operative. And his history in politics was running operations for the DA, you know, making sure that their ward tables out in an event and how to canvass people and stuff. And I'm sure he's very good at that. But strategically, Action South Africa has got a real problem. I mean, what it's trying to do is basically sell Pepsi to Coke drinkers and tell them that Coke is shit. And that's a metaphor for good governance. It's trying to say we are the real experts at good governance and the DA is rubbish and bad and actually damaged Tshwane. And it's just not a credible message. It needs to differentiate itself from the DA in other fundamental ways in order for people to go, look, if our decision we need to make as an opposition voter is whether to vote for good governance or not, it doesn't matter what ASA's record is. A, it's too short to take seriously. And B, it's just not as impressive as the DA's. And if that's the choice you're asking us to make, good governance, we're going to go with the DA every time. It's also undermined fundamentally by the fact that the vast majority of senior people in Action SA are from the DA. And almost all of its propaganda that it's putting out about its delivery record is based on the DA performance of its members in, you know, Nelson Mandela Bay for Athol Trollope or Mashaba when he was the DA mayor. And so you're kind of half the time telling people that the DA really did great We're trying to claim credit for it. It's just, I mean, it's a problem the DA's had their whole life. You know, that you can't, it's very difficult to tell black South Africans that the ANC is racist. Even if you can make a factual case that it has racial laws, that it often has members that are racially prejudiced, that it seems to have a disregard for minorities. It doesn't matter what the facts say. It's very difficult to sell that message in a believable way to black South Africans. ASA is going to have the same problem with the DA and good governance. It's just going to be subsumed by a brand that's bigger and stronger than it, and it's showing in the polls.
They had a very good local election last time round, Action SA. Was that likely to be the peak from what the polls have told us subsequently?
Well, look, it didn't actually have a very good local government election. It had a very bad one. But it was very good at spinning it. So, I mean, it only stood in 8 municipalities, and it did reasonably in those 8 municipalities. But all polls that ran in the last local government elections put Action South Africa on about 1 to 2% nationally. And that hasn't changed. And what that tells you is that Action South Africa's support is by and large comes from Gauteng, and within that, by and large, from Johannesburg. And I mean, it's deeply ironic that Action South Africa is running Shwani, has full control over the municipality, its advertising budget. It can, you know, generate a great many stories out of Shwani, which it's trying to do, but it's on 2% in Shwani and 12% in Joburg, where it's done nothing. And that's Mashaba. That is the party. It's his brand, his legacy that lives on in Joburg, and that's where the bulk of their support is. But if you zoom out to a national picture, which incorporates all of South Africa, all of its provinces, all of its voters, those little bubbles of support are by and large meaningless in a national picture. Could get you some crucial seats in some metros, but that's it really.
So Sidiya Brink's got a good chance of becoming mayor again in Shwani with the support of the Freedom Front. That's the bright spot for the opposition or for the DA. What about Johannesburg? How are you reading it in the light of their most recent polls?
Johannesburg is really a disappointment. I mean, as someone who has an affinity for opposition politics and the DA in particular, I really have regarded it as the biggest potential bubble of potential for the Democratic Alliance and its biggest failure in terms of being able to capitalize on that. And there are many reasons for that that are complicated and goes to, you know, in some instances, an over-focus on the Western Cape at the expense of Johannesburg, poor leadership choices and a poor caliber of public representatives in Johannesburg over a long period of time, which is exemplified by the fact that they've had to import mayoral candidates, you know, from Musi to Herman Mashaba. The talk is now Helen will be the next candidate in Joburg. And why is it that Joburg is not producing its own candidates? And so the DA's always got great potential in Johannesburg. It always has the potential to get up to 40%. It never seems to capitalize on that in a meaningful way. Maybe if Zilla does stand, she brings a massive amount of brand value and capital to that thing. It can make a fundamental difference for the DA. But, you know, its historical record in that metro is underperforming, and I'll need to see it before I believe it, to be frank. Maybe this year will be different, but, you know, one has to take some value out of trends and previous performance.
So Helen Zilla, if she is to stand as mayor, that would be definitely their best chance of winning Joburg. What about the East Rand, Ekurhuleni?
Yeah, it's sort of the forgotten child of the three metros. And the DA is at its weakest in Ekurhuleni. It's still fairly strong there, but not like the other two metros. You know, much bigger working class population there, less leafy suburbs and middle class areas where the DA thrives in, and you know, very strong union history also in Ekurhuleni. So parties like the EFF and the ANC do well there. I mean, I think that'll be its hardest fight to get to governance. All three of these metros is almost odds on that there will be some kind of opposition coalition at the moment. It's just probably the DA will not be as strong in that scenario in Ekurhuleni. I don't think there's much more to say than that. But look, this you can talk about the numbers until the cows come home. I think the big picture thing is the ANC is going to really battle to put together a coalition in which it can govern. The odds are in favor of the opposition with a dominant DA in the coalitions governing all three to a certain degree. And the real fundamental problem is whether or not those coalitions are going to be able to make a difference. Because the state of Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg and Tshwane is profound state of disrepair that leads all the way down to the foundations, which are rotten. And it actually takes 10 years to get the machine working properly before you can start to see fundamental delivery. It was like that in Cape Town. And I don't know if people have got the patience for that. And it could be a very difficult 5 or 10 years for whatever it is that takes over. If it is concerned about fixing things and service delivery, because the rot is so profound in those metros.
Mm. You mentioned Cape Town. How solid is the DA there? They, by their own polling, appear to be very comfortable.
Yeah, they look very solid in Cape Town, which obviously is a very large urban population and a much smaller rural population than the province as a whole. The PA is on around 10% there, which will be a concern to the DA, and I suspect it's much stronger in certain rural municipalities outside of Cape Town. But, you know, 60% is a very comfortable margin. It's difficult to read that PA vote at the moment, given the kind of turmoil the party's in. I would suspect there is some fluidity in the PA's vote, given what's happened with Gayton McKenzie and Kenny Kuneni. I'd need to see a couple more polls before you had a more stable read of where they're at. But I do think the PA has potential to grow. Maybe not enough to win Cape Town or stop the DA getting a majority in Cape Town, but certainly to become a far bigger presence in the province as a whole, in other municipalities.
Gareth, what about KZN and in particular Ekurhuleni, Durban?
Yeah, that's going to be another. I mean, KZN and Johannesburg, well, KZN and Gauteng are going to be the biggest battlegrounds in this election. KZN is going to be fascinating. If the national elections are anything to go by, it's even Stevens between the MK and the ANC for who can emerge the bigger, more powerful, more dominant party after the local government elections. And the MK seems to have stalled its growth in other provinces. There was a huge drive about 6 months ago from MK. A lot of events held in Gauteng in particular, some big rallies, trying to capitalize on the sort of 10% that it got in Gauteng. But it seems to have abandoned that kind of stuff and is focusing now exclusively on KZN and most likely on the ground. There doesn't seem to be that much public PR from MK anymore. And so I think it's kind of recognized that it's KZN is where it lives or dies, and its ability to do well in that province will determine whether it is a lasting force or not. The problem with small parties have is they're kind of like sharks. They can't sit still ever. If you have an election where you don't grow or you go backwards, you'll die. Especially if you're a young party, you need that momentum. And so there's just as much pressure on MK as there is on the ANC to do well in KZN. But I think it has taken a strategic decision that it's KZN or die. And given its political behavior in the last 6 months, that seems to be entirely where it's focused. And it's got good prospects. I mean, I'm sure it can win a huge number of municipalities. I'm sure it can eat big inroads in Ekurhuleni. What the lay of the land will look like afterwards is we need to be closer to the election to tell that.
Some of the personalities, given that South Africa does have a lot of personality cults around politicians, starting with MK and Floyd Shivambu, will that match have much of an impact, the fact that he came and then left with such fanfare?
Well, I think it depends on how you view MK. And to a certain degree, that's also irrelevant because it's actually how does Zuma view MK? If you're a traditional political party that's here for the long term, you want to establish yourself as a party, you want to produce a foundational core support base, and you want to build national structures, you need organizers to do that. And Floyd Shivambu might be an ideologue with whom I disagree on almost everything, but I think he is a good organizer. And something that he brought to MK or would have brought was the ability to be able to build branches outside of KZN, to introduce some kind of formal structure to the party, systems, documents, policies, and a way to structure the party in a traditional modern political sense. But I don't think Zuma views the party like that. It's an extension of his own personal grievance. To that end, it must be filled with people that share his grievance and are loyal to him first and foremost, rather than any idea of MK. And it doesn't need the kind of national structures it needs because its draw card is Zuma and it begins and ends with him. And so MK's abandonment of that kind of formal approach to politics, which if you compare to the EFF is fundamentally different. The EFF was very, very good at creating national structures, largely because it hijacked the ANC Youth League, but MK has no interest in that. It's kind of sowing the seeds of its own demise because when Zuma dies, it will have nothing left. There is no foundation being built. There is no depth of leadership, no kind of loyal base that's being recruited through branches and can have meetings and engage with the party and inform decisions. Zuma said, we're never having a conference. We don't believe in those. And so that's fine. As long as the brand is around, the fundamental brand, which is Zuma, you can draw on that and suck out as much value as you can from that. But when that goes, you vanish and there's not much left at all. So that's the risk.
Is he likely, though, Shivambu, to have much of an impact?
Outside of MK? No. I mean, what do you mean by an impact? Can he muscle together a percent or two, maybe? You need a lot of money, but he has something, a very small, limited brand. The problem all these radical parties have, the EFF and MK, is that they are basically saying we're alternate versions of the ANC. And it's worked to a certain degree. I mean, Malema's built up a party based on personal grievance, his initial fight and expulsion under Zuma, and the kind of pseudo-argument that the ANC has abandoned the revolution and he's the new flag bearer of revolutionary truth. MK is built around Zuma and his grievance with Ramaphosa and his own expulsion from the party. Floyd is built of his expulsions from the ANC, from the EFF, and from MK, a triple kind of grievance. Grievance politics works. There is a small market for it. You need to be a kind of significant brand, but it doesn't last. People get over their grievances and then they ask, well, what now? I mean, it might take 5 or 10 years. And maybe it's close enough to the election for Shivambu to squeeze something out of his circumstances. But these are diminishing returns. And unless you have something other than a personal gripe to offer, sorry, I'm kind of rambling here. But I mean, if you look at the EFF, the EFF, when it was founded, had no shortage of national issues. Marikana was all over the place. It was, let's nationalize the mines. It had 7 cardinal pillars. It had endless campaigns. It was going to click stores and rubbishing them. And, you know, the EFF has not had a national campaign that I can name for 6 months. And it's basically because Malema lost his lieutenant and chief organizer. He kind of just likes pontificating about politics at press conferences afterwards. He doesn't actually drive issues. There is no distinguishing issue and hasn't been for 6 months that you associate with the EFF. If anyone asks you why you're voting for the EFF now, it's Malema or nothing. It doesn't stand for anything. It's not on top of any issues. It's lost its ability to get into court with Mpofu also leaving. All its court cases have evaporated, even if they were mad, but at least it seemed to be fighting for something. And it's just an empty shell of an organization now, and I think it's going to get decimated in these local government elections unless it finds something to take up on behalf of the people, whatever that is.
Gareth, fascinating discussion. Thank you.